For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Tommy Curran, who was speaking with us yesterday, talking about the decision-making process there in New England.
You know about this?
Likened it to the three of us, you, me, and Tommy, all going to the 99, which, by the way, sounds like a great time.
Absolutely.
That sounds like a good time. We should go there on, like, trivia night sometime.
I did 99 trivia 3 weeks ago.
There you go. All right.
Some friends.
Now, there's a little bar near my house called the Village Manor, and they do trivia on Thursday. I haven't been there in a while, but that's usually where I'm at for trivia on Thursdays. I will, if we all decide, this is something we want to do.
The big beers,
we'd head over to the
big
90s.
Those big old mugs they have at the 99.
Yeah. Arkin, you and I are neighbors. We can go to the hillside on Tuesday nights and play musical bingo as well.
Oh, really?
It's awesome.
Musical bingo?
Yeah, you have a bingo card, and they play like four to five to six seconds of a song, and you have to punch the song.
I would suck.
But how is it bingo, though?
It's a bingo card, and there's each square is a song. And you have to get bingo.
That's this song.
Yeah, I see you playing.
Okay, I see what you mean. Okay.
I would never know.
I embarrassed myself and screamed out bingo like 15 minutes into it, and I had nothing, didn't have a bingo. Not even close to a bingo.
Well, maybe you're not allowed back.
Well, then why'd you yell bingo?
Because I thought I had bingo. I didn't quite understand the rules of the game at the time.
That's okay. That's all right.
B-I-N-G-O.
There's a lot of good options in our neck of the woods. And I wouldn't, I'm a bit, the Village Man, that's my spot, but yeah, so.
Okay, so let me ask a question.
Well, we have other options.
Halfway. I said hillside. It's a halfway.
Halfway cafe, right. Okay.
Using Tom's analogy,
mm-hmm.
Who's driving us to the 99? Isn't there still like a leader, a ringleader?
Sure. It was his idea, so I'd say, yeah, Tommy, you suggested the 99, you can drive.
Okay, so he made the decision?
Mm-hmm. He'll be the DD.
Because what if halfway there, he's like, you know what, I changed my mind. I don't want to go to the 99. I'm going somewhere else.
No.
So is that Gerard Mayo?
I feel like there'd have to be some kind of vote, right? There's three of us. We vote. Majority
My car,
rules,
I'm driving. You guys can get out if you want and walk.
All right, well, then he can go by himself. I think that's sort of the
I'm
idea,
still gonna
though,
get
right?
Beer
it's a
and
collaborative,
food.
It's
you
a collaborative
guys are walking
thing.
Down a dark street.
Sure. I don't mind. I'm not afraid.
Well, you might get your ass kicked.
By who?
I don't know. The big badass.
Might kick their ass.
I doubt it.
You never see me. If I grew up in the North End, I could fight.
So Gerard Mayo is at least driving the vehicle when we decided to go?
I agree. I think that's the idea. Gerard Mayo is the driver of the vehicle, but it's a decision that they're all making.
But why does he make it sound like he told them? That's what I get back to coming off the sniff test.
Mm.
Why did he feel the need? And there's the Wiggy option, which is he wants people to know he didn't make the decision?
Yeah, saying it without saying it.
Okay, which is a possibility. Is that, do you buy that?
No.
Okay.
Not really.
So then what's he doing? Did he get scared? Did he feel like suddenly people were realizing he has no authority anywhere?
I think he wanted to establish some authority, absolutely.
The dog,
I think that's what he wanted to do.
Leg.
He's like, you know what? I'm tired of everybody sort of trashing me and making it seem like I have no agency here and I'm just a puppet of the crafts or whatever else people are saying. And I want everyone to know that I'm the coach. I'm in charge. This is my show.
Yeah.
And I'm the guy.
I'm not grown up.
Yeah.
I'm a man.
I'm 40.
Yeah.
Right.
I think that's not what it was.
He's not. It's true.
So he can't say that.
But that's what I think that was all about.
Yeah, because that still is curious to me, because that seemed, as much as we have nitpicked his words mm-hmm. throughout the process, this feels not like a mistake, but more calculated, that suddenly the last couple days it was, I make the decision. Ultimately, it's my decision. If it doesn't work, blame me. I made the decision, right? Like, that felt calculated, not like a slip of the tongue in a press.
Right.
This season, everybody nitpicked yesterday, this season. Oh, he said this season? Does he mean this season? Like 17 games this season? The whole season?
Mm-hmm.
Is that what he meant by that? I think that's a slip of the tongue or whatever. But I feel like it was more calculated for him to assert himself in that way and say, I made the decision. It's ultimately my decision.
Right.
I can handle things. I'm smart.
However, it wasn't a popular decision. So he wants to own this unpopular decision, right? Yeah. I mean, that seems
Isn't that
a little...
what leaders do, though?
It is.
I think that's where the...
But if he was so worried about the way it looks from the outside, mm-hmm. you know, if he was very concerned about the optics of it and everything, he's endorsing an unpopular decision. So, I mean, the
That's the leader part of him. Everybody tells us he's a leader of men, correct?
Right, yeah,
his first attribute is leader of men, right?
Yes.
So as a leader of men... Whether you like the decision or not, whether it was your decision or not, like in the military, doesn't the general, let's throw that out there. I'm not real great on the whole hierarchy of military.
Neither am I.
But doesn't he have to stand in front of the troops and be the leader and say, we're doing this, damn it, it's my decision.
Yes.
That's how leaders lead.
Absolutely.
It's
a new day in New England. I mean, it is. It's not the dictator anymore. It's a different process.
No, but he's a leader.
It's a different decision-making process. He's still the leader, but he's not the dictator that Belichick was. And he's not the one who just says, whatever I say goes, and I don't care what you scouts have to say, and I don't care what you offensive coordinators have to say, and whatever. I know he deferred a lot to McDaniels and, you know, the other offensive coordinators over the years, but ultimately it was very clear that he had final say in everything. And that's not very clear with Gerard Mayo. He's trying to make it clear.
So,
but I'm still not sure I believe him.
My... take in the make, I'll say, right here,
mm-hmm. yeah,
is that he realized as a football player, a guy who was in that locker room, and know that when the coach isn't there and the media isn't there, there's talking, there's questioning, there's doubting, there's all of that, right? The offense doesn't know if they trust the quarterback,
right.
Whatever. He realized it can be a collaborative in April and May and June, and July,
yep,
maybe even August. September, collaborative goes out the window because the only person standing in front of the squad is me.
And the only one who's going to get the crap for it is going to be him,
right.
too, right?
But it has to be that way. They have to know who to praise, who to fear, who to crap on. And I think he may be asserting himself because he realized collaborations can work in the offseason, collaboration in season in the National Football League. Forget National Football League. In the world of football,
mm-hmm.
the machismo world of football where...
Okay, Razor Ramon.
Yes. God rest his soul, I believe.
Yes.
That he knows that doesn't fly in an actual football season, in a game week, in a game setting, in a football setting. That's my working theory. You like it?
Yeah, it's not bad.
Okay, thanks.
617-779-7937 is the phone number. Let's go to Carlos, who is in Rhode Island. He has a take on Drake May. Go ahead, Carlos.
Hey, guys. How are you? Thank you for taking my call.
You got it.
So I got a question for you guys. Do you think Dan Pelt can run a functional pro offense?
Do I think he can? Yes. Do I know it? No.
I'm not sure he can. I mean, well, I'm not sure he can with this group. I'm going to say no.
Oh, with this group? No.
Yeah. I mean, can he with, like, a great team? Yeah, sure, probably. But I don't know about it with this group.
So my point being is, obviously, in the offseason, he wasn't their first choice
nope.
to be the OC. The other candidates didn't want to come.
Right. He was, like, their 10th or 11th choice.
Right. Why in the hell would you throw a potential franchise quarterback in the starting lineup without knowing if this guy can coach? Because if he can't coach, this young QB is going to be wrecked. But if he can coach and he can run an offense and you can see that it's a QB that's holding him back, mm-hmm. a.k.a. Jacoby Brissett, then you could throw Drake May in there. But from what I've seen, he can't even get the offensive linemen to line up properly. So you say, talk about Mayo driving a car. Why would you give someone a Ferrari if you know if he can drive it or not? You're better off just give him a Toyota.
All right. Thanks for the call, Carlos. That was a good analogy.
We love our friends at Toyota and all the other car manufacturers.
We certainly do.
If you want to advertise here on the 100% afternoon program.
Yes. It was for effect. I think
that's the problem for analogies is people really run with them and they really start to go far afield.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're buying Toyotas and we can't have Ferraris and all this stuff. So what was the timeline you think for Carlos? Like, when do we find out if Alex Van Pelt can coach? Is that a one-month thing, a two-week thing, a six-week thing?
I think probably in like a week or two.
I mean, because didn't he get – well, first of all, I think it's stupid. Because if you don't think he can, if you have any doubt that he can coach, he shouldn't be here.
Sure. But also, beggars can't be choosers either. I mean,
there's always other options.
Okay, but
another option.
Okay, I mean, sure.
Right?
Ben McAdoo technically could be another option, but they went down a long list of people before they got
then
to Alex
Bow down to Nick Cayley and give in to his pay demands. Like, if you don't...
Who's the other guy? Robinson? Zach Robinson?
Zach Robinson.
Where'd he go, L.A.?
He went to Atlanta with Raheem Morris, I think.
Okay.
I feel like. Nick Cayley stayed
in L.A. And
Cayley
went to the Rams? Yeah, okay.
But if you don't think the guy can coach, he shouldn't be on your staff.
Mm-hmm.
If you doubt that, like, that's like if you...
Well, it's his first time doing it, so you'll see, you'll know if he can or he can't.
Now, no, but you think he can. You don't know he can, but you think he can.
You think
can't
so?
Be making decisions because you're like, I don't know if that guy we hired is any good. You have to give him, like Scott Peters, you have to trust him with your offensive lineman, correct?
Yep.
And T.J. McCartney. I'm going to struggle with that name, T.J. I apologize in advance. He's coaching your quarterbacks.
Yep.
You can't. If you're afraid to send your quarterback to the quarterback's coach, then you need a new quarterback's coach. If you're afraid to put your quarterback in your offensive coordinator's offense, it's not the quarterback's fault. You need a new offensive coordinator. Right? Am I right? Like, that's such a loser mentality of flawed logic.
Yeah.
Get rid of him. If you don't trust him, you can't let him. And if you do trust him, that's like not trusting your wife's dinner.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if she poisoned it or something, so I'm not going to eat this. No, she's your wife.
Adam Jones had it several times.
His wife poisoned him?
Well, she put glass in his cupcake once.
On purpose?
I don't know if it was on purpose.
She's still behind bars?
Investigators are still trying to figure that out. I mean, listen, she was trying to do the world a favor. Let's just kidding. Just kidding, Jones and Kathleen.
Too soon. Too soon.
Anyways, we'll see. So far in these preseason games, I haven't really watched the Van Pelt. I know it's not really his offense. It's a stripped-down, simplified version of it, but I'm watching him thinking, okay, you know, they're calling plays here. It looks like he's putting guys in a decent position to be successful when May's out there anyway. It doesn't seem like a total discombobulated mess, which if he was really in that far over his head, it probably would be.
Carlos's cheap shot, which isn't a cheap shot when it's true, that they couldn't even line up at right and left tackle is... It's unacceptable.
Well, they had some hard time lining up.
But who do you blame on that? Did they not tell him to move up? I'm pretty sure Gerard's on the record saying we told you to move up.
Mm-hmm.
So that's on Okorafor and Lowe to not move up.
Yep.
That's just guys that whatever are so set in their ways and have had too many reps and muscle memory, whatever it is. I don't necessarily blame that. That's more either the head coach or the offensive line coach. That's not the offensive coordinator's system isn't working. Now, I have a lot of doubts about Alex Van Pelt. Don't get me wrong.
Sure.
If we're being fully honest, I probably wouldn't have hired him. But if I hire him, I got to trust him to do the job I hired him to do, right?
Absolutely. And part of that job, I think, was bringing along Drake May. Not necessarily being like some great play caller, but all right, you're a quarterback guy. We have a rookie quarterback, and this is a big part of what we want you to
do. Wasn't it five of them? All I heard was he had five quarterbacks ready last year.
Absolutely.
Got five quarterbacks. I don't need you to get five ready. Just one.
Just one.
Get one ready for me, and I will pay you the king's ransom.
617-779-7937 is the phone number. When we come back, we will debut another new segment. Yes, Friday. It's a debut Friday here, and it is the spin zone where I will try... Probably fail, but I will try to spin this problem on the offensive line. That's all coming up right after.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
That was Rap Sheet from yesterday. Can I say something real quick?
Sure. Did you think there was any chance the guy who was gifted the scoop that Jacoby Brissett was going to start was then going to criticize Jacoby Brissett starting? No chance. No chance.
Why not?
Well, why are you thinking about that? Because that's how that works.
What's the difference?
See this thing I have in my jean, in my shorts?
Whoa.
I
don't want to see the thing in your shorts, Ian.
Not that thing. It's called a pocket right here.
Oh,
see,
right,
it's pocket.
Yes. Okay, sure.
That's where Rap Sheet resides now.
In your pocket?
No, in their pocket.
In their pocket. I see.
So you honestly thought he would get the scoop at 8:10 in the morning and then be like, in the dumbest move ever in the history of football.
Well, he's not a bomb dropper like that anyway. I mean, he's a pretty straightforward news guy. Like, Schefter doesn't say that was a dumb move or anything.
No, he has plenty of opinions. They're just the ones that the teams tell him to have.
Okay, I mean, fine. But I don't often hear him ripping people in general. I mean, I just don't think that that's something that he does.
Because he's either promoting the team or he's promoting the player that the agent who gave him the information told him to promote. I'm just telling you how to listen.
Okay.
I'm just telling you how to intake.
But you know the difference between someone like him and someone like Pat McAfee or something. Like, I mean, they have...
Oh, yeah.
One's an opinion show and the other guy's a news-breaking type of guy.
I don't think McAfee is necessarily unbiased either. We all have our biases.
Sure.
Certain things we may or may not say, correct? Mm-hmm. Just based on financial interests or friendship interests. I'm just telling you, if you...
That's why it's good not to have any friends.
That's kind of how I look at it.
Yeah.
People don't like me.
You have to worry about alienating anyone.
I have very few people that I worry about.
Hey, I thought we were friends. Nope. Don't have any.
Nope. We're coworkers. We're associates. We ain't friends.
Exactly. There are a couple of Patriots roster moves that just came over the wire here from Doug Kide.
Big ones?
No. Patriots have signed Isaiah Bolden and someone named O'Shawn Mathis to the practice squad. Bolden was a draft pick last year, I want to say. He got cut. He's now a practice squad guy, went through waivers. I think we all expected that to happen. Mathis is a linebacker who last played for the Rams.
Yep.
He's on your practice squad as well. And then there's this, which maybe is a little bit more newsworthy, and that is that the Patriots have released Calvin Anderson, offensive tackle, who was on injured reserve. He's now been let go, which, curious, I would say, that you're getting rid of any of your tackles at this point.
Yeah, I mean, he was brought in under the old regime, didn't live up to hopes. Now, he's the guy that, if you recall, he had malaria, which really derailed everything.
He had malaria?
You didn't recall
I knew he was out. I don't remember he had malaria.
Apparently you didn't recall that. I assumed you'd recall, because to me that's something that strikes me. Like, I don't know a lot of people that have malaria. I don't even really know how he got malaria. I felt like malaria was a thing that existed like 70 years ago.
Yeah, right. Yeah, he almost died. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. It was like no joke.
I do remember this now.
And he appreciates life more, and like he seems like a really nice man. But there was a hope when he came here from Denver that he was going to at least be a starting right tackle for them, a starting caliber tackle, and now he's out.
Yeah.
So he cannot be the X factor.
No.
He's out of my X factor discussion.
Yes, I would say that puts him out of the X factor discussion. What was he on IL with? What was his? It wasn't with malaria, right? But he was on injured reserve.
Yeah, he was on something.
So I'm not sure exactly what the deal was. Maybe they figured, you know, it's going to be too long. I forgot that you can release guys off.
And he can come back. He can get an injury settlement, and then like after he can come back after he passes that time frame. I wouldn't close the door. I mean, I wouldn't close the door on any lineman. I'd open the door for any lineman that might want to come through, have a workout, and potentially line up for this team.
Yeah, I think that's a smart way of doing it, especially at the tackle position. I think you're probably okay in the interior for the most part. I don't think you're going to have a ton of problems there with Onwenu and David Andrews and whoever it is that lines up at left guard. I think you'd be, for the most part, okay.
Do we know Onwenu is playing guard?
No, we don't, actually. We don't know that. I guess he could be playing tackle, and if he does, then
I actually want him to play right tackle. I want it to be Onwenu. I want it to be Laden Robinson, the rookie, at right guard.
Okay.
I want it to be David Andrews at center, and I'm open to the idea. I think it's City Sow is at left guard.
Uh-huh.
Left tackle?
Question
TBD.
Mark.
Undecided. Whatever they do for the starting pitchers. Who's pitching tonight against the Sox? Undecided.
Yep, it's TBD.
I'm undecided at left tackle.
Well, since we're talking about the offensive line, now is as good a time of any to debut another new segment. Everyone's been talking about how bad the offensive line is, how it's going to get everybody killed, how it's the worst offensive line in the history of organized football. Mm. But au contraire, pump the brakes a little bit there, folks. Time to put that take in the spin zone.
Spin zone.
Spin zone.
Spin zone.
It's the Spin Zone with Arcand and Hart on WEEI.
All right, so the point of this segment here is not necessarily to, you know, just take an unpopular position. However, when it seems like something is just universally decided upon, when it seems like everyone is pulling all in the one direction, when everybody thinks this is the case, this is it, we all agree, that is generally something that gets my antenna up anyway. I'm not as big of a contrarian maybe as some other people on the airwaves around here.
Adam Jones.
I certainly don't like it when everybody thinks the same thing. That annoys me. I get my back up a little bit on that. And I think at this point, the dialogue surrounding the offensive line has gotten to that point. I don't think that there is anybody out there right now that is willing to say a single positive or even remotely positive thing about the offensive line. So I'm here to do that right now in the spin zone. And here's the main topic, all right? I just touched on it a little bit. One of those things that I think people are sort of ignoring here is that you have three offensive linemen that are pretty good, right? You got three pretty good offensive linemen at the very least. City So, I think, is pretty good. David Andrews, I think, is pretty good. Mike Onwenu could be very good. So you have at least three pretty good offensive linemen. You need five, but you have at least three. Here's the other thing. One thing that we are all sort of extrapolating this from.
I got three pretty good tires on my car.
Yes.
I need four.
You need four.
Good news is I got three.
But you can maybe get that fourth a little easier than replacing all four, I guess is the point, right? Like, you don't have to replace the whole thing. The whole thing isn't isn't DOA or FUBAR or whatever. Like, you have the foundation for an offensive line that isn't what people are describing it as, okay? Like, that's my point with that. But really what I want to get to here is that last game, all right? The last game where everyone's sort of looking at the offensive line and thinking this is a dysfunctional mess and there's no way you can put a rookie quarterback out there. That line's going to get him killed. Two big things. Number one, Nick Leverett is not going to be starting, okay? Nick Leverett could not snap the ball. He was snapping it into the ground. He was throwing it all over the place. It was bad. He was getting shoved 5 yards back right after he snapped it. He's not going to be your starting center. David Andrews is.
Okay.
So that's one thing right there. The other thing, and this is something that I feel like has been completely ignored, all those penalties, it's the preseason, right? In the preseason, don't the referees all get together and say, hey, we're going to emphasize certain things here in the preseason. We're going to make sure we throw a ton of flags whenever someone's targeting, whenever a ball carrier lowers his head. Now, remember, they did that two preseasons
Quite
ago.
Common.
They called tons of penalties on it, and then in the regular season started, and they all completely forgot about it. I don't think that penalty got called once, lowering the crown of the guy carrying the ball. I don't think anyone got called for that. Over the course of 17 weeks after that thing was a big deal in the preseason. And I think the same thing could be said about this lining up in the backfield thing. Because if you look around the league, the last 2 years, there's a reason why they're emphasizing this thing. Guys on the all over the league, you're seeing guys take a step back before the ball snapped, not getting called, and the league is saying, hey, we got to do something about that. I think they will do something about that. I don't think it's going to be at the same level as the crown of the helmet thing. But I also think that the reason why there were so many penalties and the reason why it was such a big, embarrassing display is because of the emphasis that they're putting on it in the preseason. I think that whole thing made the line look way more dysfunctional than it actually is. I think it made everybody look a lot worse. Guys like Okorafor, who was the kid who got released, who got into the game immediately, had one of those penalties. Michael Jordan, you know, like there was a lot of examples of that. And I think that on some level, it was very, very much overblown. I don't think it's going to look like that once the regular season starts. I don't think they're going to throw that many flags. I think that it's going to be a not great offensive line. I'm not saying they're going to be good or anything. But the idea that they're just this bottom-feeding, terrible line and that they'll never be able to do anything and you can't put anyone behind them because they're going to get killed and there's going to be all these penalties and stuff like that, I don't buy that. I don't think that it's going to be emphasized that same way once the regular season starts. They're going to let guys play. They're going to let them take the same step back before the ball gets snapped like they've been doing for the last however many years. And that's just the way it's going to be. You're not going to have a good offensive line, all right? It's not going to be good. But what I'm trying to spin here is the idea that it's going to be the worst thing anyone has ever seen. And I think that there's a little bit of truth to that. The whole point of this segment is that it's going to be, you know, going against the grain on things like this. So I'm not saying I believe that they're going to be good, but I don't think that they're going to be bottom of the barrel, worse than a high school team, you know, can't get out of their own way, can't put one foot in front of the other. That's what I'm trying to spin here.
Okay, and I'll buy some of it. And now you chose to fixate a little bit on the penalties, which I agree with you. They will either stop calling those or the guys will just move. Mm-hmm. Like, eventually they'll just line up where the league wants them to line up. It's a very factual thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that will dissipate for the most part. I also think they're simply going to benefit from, and I even saw this in the first preseason game, and I think I may have told you this. I had a buddy that after the first preseason game was like, the line was not as bad as all you guys have been saying down at practices. I think they're going to benefit.
From Brooklyn, I guess, huh?
Yeah.
Hey, you guys, you really don't like the offensive line, eh?
I think they're going to benefit from expectations that couldn't be any lower. If I feel like if on the first play, Jacoby Brissett drops back and has a pocket and completes a pass, people are going to be like, yeah, but
see?
You guys said he sucks. The Eagles got him every play, like one play. And they may give up sacks after that. So I think it's a lot like movies or restaurants. Like, mm-hmm. when you have low expectations, generally you're like, oh, that movie wasn't that bad. Everybody said it sucked. I was entertained for 2 hours.
Yeah, it was
hours.
Okay.
The problem is when the opposite is true, when you have a high expectation.
Which
of
no one
things.
Has for this team or this line.
This team or this line, certainly.
Sure.
So that's where I actually think the expectations that are so low they're going to run plays, right? I think we can all agree. Now, Jerod got a little defensive a little too early, in my opinion, bringing this up this week when he said that's overblown. We average 5 yards a carry. No, lining up hasn't been just the issue. I've watched every practice and every game. There's been a lot of runaway rushers.
Yeah.
The thing is, though, in most of them, they don't get to hit Jacoby Brissett or Drake May because it's practice, and they're not allowed to hit them.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas in the preseason game, we actually saw Jacoby Brissett borderline get knocked out of the game. I don't know how we want to phrase it, but...
No, he got knocked out of the game. He's cringing and holding his shoulder, and he didn't go back. He might not have played anyway. The plan might have been not to put him back in, but he didn't look like he was good. I think he came back out and threw like two more passes, and then that was it.
You think he'll need an injection on that before the first game?
Probably, yeah. Those guys shoot themselves up with all sorts of crap before each game.
And it's not far from the shoulder to the lung. I'm just saying.
Now, there's some spin zone for you right there. You're going to hire
that injection.
Is there a doctor in San Diego looking for work right now?
Drake May is your starting quarterback.
Did that guy do time for that?
No,
did something happen to that guy? I think something happened to that guy.
I think you're confusing multiple doctors from the Chargers.
That's probably true.
There was a prior one who's now like the doctor on Twitter that diagnoses all the injuries that supposedly, reportedly, allegedly had a drinking problem.
Okay.
Did he do time? I think he got sued. I don't know if he did time.
All right, maybe that's it. Sure. Okay. But that's not the doctor who punctured.
You're supposed to throw, did you do time out on the radio? Hey, did you do time?
I don't know.
Hey, Jackson, you ever done time?
I did 45 minutes, maybe.
45 minutes of time?
Yeah. Maybe a minute. Maybe an hour and 5 minutes, yeah.
Okay.
You know? Okay. I don't know what he's talking about.
I'm not sure either.
I regret asking.
I feel like
that's another story for another time.
Sorry, I was having a different conversation off here, and then I just heard, Jackson, have you ever done time? I thought you were talking about jail.
No, we were. We were talking about jail.
Okay, yeah. I did, yeah. About an hour and 5 minutes.
Why were you in jail for an hour and 5 minutes?
Because I was driving unregistered, unlicensed, and uninsured, and speeding.
Jesus, why?
I didn't know.
You didn't know you had to do all that stuff.
And no, I was like 17, and I didn't pay a ticket, and all that stuff got canceled, and I didn't see the mail, and it was just stupidity.
Didn't see the mail.
Hey, listen, who among us?
I've done hard time.
Yeah. Hardened criminal.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But no, I do. You don't like my conspiracy theory or theory that the shoulder was a long con, that he didn't actually get hurt, and they're going to...
No, I think he was actually hurt. I don't think he was on the field faking it.
Why would he take part in the whole long con thing?
Sure, yeah. It's like, oh, so you guys are going to stab me in the lung. Great, okay, let me play right along with this awesome
plan. Plus, he does get paid $8 million to sit down then.
I suppose.
True.
Get the $8 million without getting stabbed in the lung, I guess. But yeah.
Yeah, couldn't you just say, and how do you know Tyrod Taylor got stabbed in the lung?
What?
Did you see the stabbing?
No, it was reported on.
Okay. Why can't we report that Jacoby Brissett got stabbed in the lung when they...
I feel like you need a couple sources to, you know, write a story like that before you got two stories.
In this day and age, I think people run with one source rather often.
Some people do.
Rather often. And sometimes that source isn't great.
That's true. Anyway, there you go. That is my attempt.
I like it.
At spinning the offensive line. All right. That is the spin zone here on the WEEI afternoons. We're going to do this on a case-by-case basis. Don't expect to see the spin zone every single Friday at this time. We're not going to set it for one thing because we don't want it to be contrived. Only when there is a topic or an opinion or a take that it seems like 100% of the world is all in one direction. We will fight back against that. We will fight back against groupthink. What?
The 617 says, haven't we all been locked up at least once? Asking seriously, how is a man that hasn't been arrested before? Like, have you been arrested?
Twice.
That was surprising. Kind of. I mean, actually not really.
Once in high school,
has Jacob been arrested?
Not for anything bad, but yeah.
Boss Man Laird walks through. I wonder if he's been arrested. Am I the only one here who's never been in jail and never been arrested?
Sounds like
it. Am I not a man if I've never spent time in jail?
What a square.
No, and Ken says nope.
Yeah, I didn't think Ken.
I didn't think so.
I mean, I know he went through the badass bandana phase for a while on the morning show, but I'm not sure.
He brings out the banana sometimes every once in a while.
I didn't know I was doing the show with such a square. You know? I didn't realize. I guess.
So you're not cool if you haven't been arrested?
Definitely not.
I've never been arrested.
Did you get arrested for yelling at a cop?
No.
No? Okay. I feel like that could happen.
And disorderly.
No, it wasn't that either.
Urinating in public.
No, it was one time. I'll tell you about it off the air. But it wasn't anything. It wasn't certainly anything.
Intrigue, listeners.
Yeah, come on, man. This is a new show. You're going to get some ratings here.
All right. Well, one of the times it was in Waltham. We were going to a party in Waltham at a reservoir. I was in high school. I had just gotten my driver's license. I was driving there. And when we got there, the party had already been broken up by the police. And we had just pulled in. And he said, what are you doing here? I said, nothing. I was just turning around. He said, no, you weren't. And we got arrested. Because everybody, someone pushed over one of the cops' bikes. I didn't get charged with anything. I just got arrested. And the other time was because I got, I didn't have my insurance card. I got pulled over in Colorado. Didn't have my insurance card. Didn't know that I needed it during the stop. And then I went home for Christmas break. I got things in the mail saying, hey, you got to prove you have insurance. I was home. I didn't get any of the mail. I came back. I got pulled over and I got arrested. And then I just showed him my insurance card and that was that. So not exactly the crime of the century in either case, but a lot of fun. Not a lot of fun.
I think
it's all been expunged. I think that's all. That's all the way it's been. What's so funny? What's everyone laughing at over there?
The bandana Ken.
Oh, there's a prison Ken. Very nice.
Yeah. See, he's definitely done hard time.
Oh yeah. Oh, yeah, the Dementors were the worst part of prison, I would think, for him. 617-779-7937, there's your phone number. And we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll take a look at the Red Sox. We have some Red Sox takes to get to as well. We'll get to your phone calls as well. If you're on hold, stay on the line. We'll get to you next. Tommy Kern, who was with us yesterday, says that Drake May will play when Jacoby Brissett becomes an impediment to winning. And an impediment to competing, I should say, that was what he sort of followed that up with. That's a take that I think you agree with, Andy, that, you know, as soon as it seems like Brissett's really the one holding him back and that, you know, they'd be much better off if they put the other quarterback in there. My thing is that I'm not sure it's going to be Jacoby Brissett that's the impediment to winning. I think that you're going to see the entire offense with the wide receivers sort of getting their feet under him, the offensive line, which I don't think is going to gel right away. I mean, we did just spin zone the offensive line, but I don't think it's going to be a pretty
Aren't you the same guy I just listened to telling me it's not that big a problem?
But I don't think it's going to be an immediate thing. I think it may end up being they're not going to be good. I said they're not going to be good. I just don't think they're going to be the worst thing in the world. Either way, we're talking about what's going to be the impediment to them winning. I think they could still be that without being the worst offensive line ever. And the pass catchers, I still am dubious on. And I think that, you know, Jacoby Brissett's going to be a part of that. I don't think he's going to be the whole thing.
Okay, so let's rank the offense. Strength to weakness, you know, strength to impediment, whatever the hell you want to call it.
Okay.
So you have running backs, wide receivers, tight ends, offensive line, quarterback. Give me five of them. So the biggest strength in that group is?
Running backs.
Next biggest strength is?
Tight ends.
Okay. Next biggest strength is?
Probably wide receivers.
Next biggest strength is?
Quarterbacks.
So the biggest impediment to everything is the offensive line.
Probably, yeah.
Spin zone. Spin zone.
Sure. I mean, listen, those two things can be true. It doesn't mean they're good. I never said they're good, but I don't think that they're going to be like this bottom feeding terrible thing. They still might be the weakest part of the offense.
So
sure.
I assume you believe that Ramondre Stevenson will be the top running back.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I do.
So you're playing your top running back, your best running back. I think you believe Hunter Henry will be the top tight end.
Doesn't everyone believe that?
Yep. So I'm going down the list of you listed them.
Mm-hmm.
Third, you said wide receiver. So I think you believe it's probably going to be like DeMario Douglas, Jalen Polk, and I don't even know, KJ Osborne,
sure,
we'll say.
Or Thornton. Maybe Thornton continues whatever. What he's been doing, yeah.
So they're playing their best receivers.
Mm-hmm.
You think their best offensive line is?
It's probably Lowe, Andrews, Robinson, and Wenyu, maybe, I think. Yeah, right?
I think they may play that.
Yeah.
So they're playing their best offensive line. You think they're playing their best quarterback, right?
No.
No further questions, Your Honor.
Okay, but
so therefore, the one thing you can easily change.
An offensive line with just five people and a wide receiver group with multiple people.
My point is, all the other position groups, all the other areas can be strengths and or weaknesses. We don't know.
Sure.
But we believe they're playing the best players at each and every one of those, except quarterback.
Okay, that's fair. All right, I see what you mean now. Yeah.
So therefore, the easiest change, I agree with you, the offensive line is going to be a significant impediment toward winning.
Mm-hmm.
But you're already playing your best. I as Eric Cartman says, sometimes your best isn't good enough, right? You're playing your best. We might still lose. At quarterback, I don't know if you can say you're playing your best. So if you want to win.
I think we all agree they're not playing their
okay.
best.
Okay. Yeah. So that's the easiest, simplest change, right?
Yep.
So forget your the other. Everybody else can suck. I'm just worried about one position at a time and whether I'm putting my best. Because I'm not going to start Jaheim Bell over Hunter Henry.
Right.
Because I think Hunter Henry's better. I'm not going to start Austin Hooper over Hunter Henry. Because I think Hunter Henry's better.
You're not going to start
Jamichael Hasty.
Yeah.
Right? But there's one position where I don't know that we believe they are starting the best player. Mm-hmm. So therefore, he's the easiest to switch out sooner rather than later.
Sure, but
because I actually think he's already an impediment.
It doesn't make him the biggest impediment, though. I mean, that's, you know, right? Talking about what the bigger impediment is.
You had him as the fourth biggest impediment.
Fourth biggest, yes. I think that's fair. And also, I'm not 100% convinced that Drake May, even though I do think he's better, is going to be able to walk into this offense with all those people we just mentioned, none of whom I think are going to set the world on fire and be, turn this thing into the San Francisco 49ers. I just, that's another part of it, too. Like, he's not going to be an impediment to it, but I do think that even if Drake May gets in there, there's a chance he's not any better than Jacoby Brissett.
And yes, 207, he fell right into it.
My little trap. 617-779-7937. Let's go to Jamaica Jeff, who was in the car. Go ahead, Jamaica Jeff.
Hey, guys. Hey, congratulations on your new show, too.
Thank you, sir.
And that you got Jackson, the heavy hitter, in the background. That's my buddy. You'll be fine.
Pretty good.
So, real quick. So, I think the person who should be the most angry in this whole thing would be Jacoby Brissett's agent. Because if the overriding theory is that the line is so bad that you can't put Drake May out there because he's going to get killed, how do you think Jacoby Brissett feels when he wakes up in the morning and says, well, then I go out there and get destroyed? Like, it just doesn't make sense, right?
Maybe, but he also got his guy $8 million, which he gets a percentage of, and I don't know that he could have got him starting anywhere else. Like, would Jacoby Brissett start on any other team in the league?
No.
No, so I think that...
Not at all, but just to tell your quarterback, listen, we're going to put you out there because we don't have faith that it's a safe enough position to put the guy that we drafted. It just seems like you're short-sighting the guy. You know, Jacoby Brissett's not that great of a quarterback,
right,
even though he went to my alma mater, Florida, go Gators. But, you know, we don't want to get him out there and get his head taken off either. So you guys have a great day. I'm listening.
Thanks. I thought he went to NC State.
Did he start at Florida?
Maybe he did. I don't know.
Because I'm learning something right now if that's true.
Jacoby Brissett went to Florida and North Carolina State. Yeah.
I don't remember the Florida part.
Did he play there for 2 years.
Oh, damn.
His freshman and sophomore year. Didn't play much. Only got into a couple of games and then went to NC State. Yeah.
Huh.
So there you go.
Thank you, caller.
I'll be a monkey's uncle. I did not know that. I didn't realize. But, so there you go. Florida guy. And ended up going, I think he skipped it. It looks like he skipped the year. 2011 in Florida, 2012, 2013, nowhere, and then 2014, NC State.
Well, that's probably because in the old days when you transferred, you had to sit out a year.
Right.
It wasn't the freaking transfer portal.
Just didn't
portal,
jump into a portal,
tomorrow,
there you go.
Team kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
The whole injury thing, I do agree, but that, like, you know what you're signing up for, right? Like, do you think he went into this eyes wide open,
he
was?
Absolutely. He's been around the block a few times. He knows what this is all about. He knows what he's being asked. And by the way, it's not like the Patriots came out and said, hey, we're so dubious on this offensive line. We don't want Drake May out there. He's going to get killed, so we're going to put Brissett out there. They didn't say that. They said Mayo said the right thing. He said, we think he gives us the best chance to win. We all know what he's capable of. We like him, and we all decided to start him. That's different.
And they have fixated on Lou Anamura. I'm not good with the Bengals defensive coordinator guy. Anamura. That he's like an aggressive defensive.
Lou Anarumo.
Yeah, that. He, he's going to throw things at the Patriots. Like, you're going to get him. So you're going to get some early defensive coordinators that are going to challenge you, mm-hmm, and that Jacoby Brissett can at least see what's coming and might have a better job protecting himself, even if the line stinks. Let's say this stinks for everybody, but if he has the right protection, the right slide, or at least knows where the blitzer is coming from, he's better suited than Drake May, who might not. Now, Drake May was actually asked about that yesterday, and I found it interesting. He talked, I think, a little bit more about coverage shells than pressures, which I found interesting. He's like, the coverage is what I'm having an issue with, and that doesn't hurt you physically as much. You can throw picks and look bad in terms of your performance. But I do think Jacoby Brissett, he's seen more. You're not going to, hoodwink him as much as a defensive coordinator in the first month as you probably could Drake May. There is some reality to that.
Yeah, I agree with that. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. Final hour coming up, and it's not even a full hour. So if you have anything to say, you better get it in quickly. It's 617-779-7937. We'll switch gears to the Red Sox as they get ready for the Detroit Tigers. We'll take you up to pregame on the MassMutual pregame show with Joe Weil. It's all coming up next here on WEEI Afternoons.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks Puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps.
and thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.